This is My Daddy Station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
This is the Voice of Freedom. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Listening to the Hour of the Time, I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have the medal report tonight, just as soon as Gene calls in, which should be in just 2 or 3 minutes. In the meantime, we're just rushing around here, getting ready to go to Rachel, Nevada, for our annual Groom Dry Lake excursion, Area 51. I learned about Area 51 when I was a member of the Office of Naval Intelligence in the United States Navy as the member of the intelligence briefing team for the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet. And I knew what was going on out there long before anybody else ever heard of it. In fact, it was me that told the world where it was on the Billy Goodman happening way back in 1989, I believe it was. And some of the callers didn't believe what I told them, so Billy put together a bus trip and took a whole bunch of his radio listeners out there, and by golly, did they see, did they have an air show? Oh, yes, they did. And people have been going out there ever since, and all kinds of people have been telling crazy stories and just outright lies about the place. And you got to be very careful who you listen to. In fact, you should listen to everybody, but believe nobody unless you can prove it. Just because somebody says something, don't make it so, folks. And just because you read it in a book, don't make it so. And just because it's in the newspaper, sure don't make it so. And if you see it on TV, it's probably just an out-and-out lie. That's the way things go today. This is the age of deception. Got some calls from some of the people who are going, and they got the excitement's real bad. They just can't wait to get there. And I imagine there's a few of them already on their way. We'll be pulling out of here about 4 o'clock in the morning. And Sugar Bear and Crusher will be here to patrol the premises and protect the property. And please, oh man, if anybody tries to break in this place while Crusher's in here, I feel so sorry for them. I certainly don't want it to happen, but we've had some pretty serious threats, and so we had to get this dog. And this dog is a real serious dog. He's a family protection dog, and he's been trained to protect the people in this family and the property that belongs to this family. Actually, he thinks it belongs to him, and he thinks we're his people, and he's not our dog. That's the way he is. He's what they call an alpha dog. He's the boss. And so everything here will be in good hands. And, of course, Connie will be here during office hours except for Monday. The office will be closed Monday morning. And that's just to make up for the extra time that Connie has to come in to do the network programming and the Johnny Ray and Lonesome Bob's very fine radio show on Saturday and a bunch of the other stuff. So that's why the office is going to be closed on Monday morning. It's sort of a compensation type thing for her. She's going to lose part of her weekend on Saturday. And while I'm off playing in the boonies. And it is fun. It's a lot of fun, folks. It can also be extremely dangerous, but it is a lot of fun. And I think we're going to really have a good time. Now, I don't know if anybody's going to see anything. I never know if anybody's going to see anything. I never know if I'm going to see anything. They don't tell me when their schedule is and what they're going to fly. So it's always a crapshoot. But every time that we've gone in the past, except for a couple, in fact, every time I've taken people out there, we have seen quite a show. And a couple of times when I've gone out by myself, just by myself, I haven't seen anything. In fact, I was out there one time for over 2 weeks, freezing in the middle of winter in the desert. Desert gets cold, folks. A lot of you think the desert's hot all the time. Well, some deserts are, but some deserts get real cold, especially at night in the wintertime. And that's the way it is in the Tickaboo Valley. Good evening, Gene.
Good evening. How are you doing? We're sure going to get through here. We're having a storm down here, a big wind storm and dust storm, and supposed to be having rain and all that stuff, and I was having a bit of trouble getting through the phone. Just wasn't doing anything.
Huh. Well, you live in one of those deserts that never gets cold.
Yeah, I wish it would cool off.
Last time I was in Phoenix, it was 122 degrees, and people were dropping dead.
Last year or the year before?
No, it was a couple of years ago, and I haven't been back since. And
I remember that day. It was like walking out into a blast furnace.
Oh, yeah.
It was hot.
It'll take an army to get me to ever go back down there after that.
Yeah, I tell you, it does get a little warm here. I moved here because I didn't like winters. I was never a winter person. I used to live in the Midwest, Iowa and Minnesota.
Yeah, but that's like the office thermostat. Come on, so you're a little chilly. Why did you turn it up to 120 degrees?
Yeah, I know. I got kind of crazy. It went from one extreme to the next. But I don't know. I never did mind the heat, so the heat doesn't really bother me too much. Although you got pretty nice weather up where you're at.
Oh, beautiful weather. In fact, we haven't even had a summer here. It's been 3 months of spring. We've had nothing but spring all summer long. It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
Lots of rain. Everything is beautiful and green and growing. And we've got tomatoes growing out of our fingernails and ears and every place you can think of.
How cold does it get there in the wintertime?
In the winter?
Yeah.
It can get down to 10 degrees. I've never seen it colder than that, although, you know, if you go up, we're at 7,500 feet.
Yeah.
I guess it could get colder than that. And if you went up higher, you know, you can go up to about 10,000 feet within an hour's drive of here. And within about 20 minutes, you can be at 9,500 feet. And I know it gets down below zero up there.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to function when it's that cold.
Yeah. Well, that's why we all have four-wheel drives and big wood stoves and all kinds of politically incorrect things.
There you go. Throw another log on the fire.
I love to make those socialists angry. They hate four-wheel drives. Did you know that?
Do they really?
Yeah, they hate four-wheel drives.
I just got me another one.
Well, good for you. We've got three.
So
we need every one of them in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I head one way, Annie heads the other way, and the third one is usually broke down. It's being fixed, and when it gets fixed, usually another one breaks down. But we've always got two running all the time.
There you go.
How's the metal market today?
Well, today gold ended up at $324.50 an ounce. Silver was up at $4.70 an ounce. Now, actually, it was higher during the day. It made a very significant climb. It climbed up over 480, but then the profit takers, in these markets, there are people that are called day traders. In fact, they're not even in there for a full 24 hours, because if you leave your trade open overnight, you have to cough up the bucks and sell your account. So they're in and out before the trading day is over, so they never have to actually spend any money. They just make a place an order at the beginning of the day, and by the end of the day, they sell their order, and if they did their job right, they made money.
Yeah, there's something seriously wrong about that.
They had to put any money up.
They take no risk whatsoever.
Well, they do take risk. Let's say they're going long, and it doesn't go long. And they end up, gold or silver goes down, and they do sell out, or they carry it over to the next day, but they have to pay up by the end of the day, so.
Yeah, but they didn't put anything up to begin with. I mean, it's a crapshoot, and if they take a hit, they take a hit. But wouldn't you like to be able to get in on a big buck deal without putting one penny up?
Oh, I'd love to.
Well,
it doesn't happen for you and I, though. That's the problem.
It shouldn't happen for anyone.
It doesn't, but unfortunately it does. Like IPOs, initial public offerings, and oftentimes if you get a very strong company with a good track record that goes public, initially you'll see that stock shoot up that first day. I've seen stocks go up 50% in one day. The only problem is it isn't open to you and me. All those stocks that you see and you hear about, like Netscape and all that a couple years ago, it did that big phenomenal run up. All those stocks were bought by corporations and people that are monkey mucks, as one guy used to call them, before the trading was ever opened.
Uh-huh.
And then when by the time that the public is actually allowed to buy the stock, that move has already taken place. And so these big traders then use the rest of the public to drive the market up a little bit further, and then they dump out and go on their merry way and take their profits, leaving the rest of the public to hold the bag. The public never gets in on those initial public offerings.
The public just never catches on, period, do they?
Well, I didn't catch what you said.
I said the public just never catches on, period, do they?
Oh, no. And so there's this carrot always dangled out in front of you. You hear these phenomenal returns on things like that, or these day traders and whatnot, and yet, so they think, well, I'll do this, and then it never happens that way. It just, it doesn't work that way for the public. The stock market is set up for, the major corporations and the major trading funds and the Merrill Lynch's and Kidder Peabody's and Shearson Lehman's and Solomon Brothers. It's made for them. It's not made for the individual investor. The individual investor gets creamed and wiped out. He just gets run over in the panic or in the masses, whichever direction it's going.
Yeah.
Anyhow, going on with what we were talking about, silver did take a nice run up today, but then it settled back down. But it was up as high as $4.80, and that's coming off of recent lows of about $4.19. So it's, in the last three weeks or so, it's moved up pretty nicely. Platinum is at 409, and the stock market was down weeks.
Yeah, and people just act like nothing's happened.
Yeah. And
that's just amazing.
Well, there's, you know, here's the thing is that the stock market has cried like 7 or 8 times here in the last 2 or 3 years doing these types of scenarios, dropping several hundred points over a period of a few days, and then it's rebounded right back up to go up 1,000 points.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, it's not going to do it this time. I think this October is going to be one hell of a catastrophe.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, and things I want to, you know, obviously what I deal in, and everybody knows, is that I'm dealing in precious metals, gold and silver. And one of the things I want to, you know, talk about tonight, because I believe we're going to do the program here, right?
Yeah.
Is that... why should we be doing this? Not only, you know, it just makes common sense, but just when you stand back and look at the situation around you and what makes gold, we could call it a good investment. To some, it's an investment. To some, it's just, you know, they're buying it for survival purposes, and that's really what people should be doing. But nonetheless, there's going to be people that buy it even for the investment side of it. And, Why is this a good time to buy gold? Well, I think any time personally is a good time to buy gold, but this is in a particularly better time than most due to some of the circumstances that are around us. And we'll sit back and just take a look at what's happening. You'll understand that the opportunities that exist today didn't exist 5 years ago or 6 years ago, and it makes it a much better play for you. Whether you're buying it just for protection, because right now it's cheap, it's extremely cheap. And that's one thing. The market right now, gold has dropped below production level cost. In other words, it costs a lot more than what they're getting per ounce to mine this stuff productively. And so, and when we look at this, we go back and look at historical trends, it has never stayed down here at this level for a very long period of time. In fact, it can't. These mines and stuff, these gold mines, South Africa, Canada, United States, the three largest gold producers, the mines are not being at all productive right now. So if we look at, go look at 1975, 1980, 1987, 1993, at different times when the gold market took these dips and dropped to historic lows.
Hey, Gene.
Yes.
Isn't it a fact that when gold drops like it has down to these prices, that the gold mines shut down?
Yeah, exactly. They shut down. But the thing is, they never stayed down for very long. So it gives us an indicator that people get discouraged. You know, even people that buy gold for long-term preservation, you know, that kills me. That's like, who cares what your insurance is doing, as long as you got it. But there are people that get discouraged because... they still got this back in the mind. They want to make get rich on their gold. But nonetheless...
That's the old greed factor setting in.
Pardon me?
That's the human greed factor setting in.
The human greed factor that sets in most people. Well, I guess what I'm saying here is take heart. This isn't going to stay down here for a very long period of time because it never has in the past. History has always been a very good judge of the future because it has a tendency to repeat itself. So knowing that it's dipped like this before and it has always rebounded back up anywhere from 50 to 100% or even more in a very short period of time, number one, you need to take advantage of these prices. You're buying gold at 10 and 12 year lows. That's like going out and buying a car and paying 1985 or 87 prices for it. I mean, that's just unheard of. And so this is an opportunity for people to take advantage of it, and you need to do so. But it won't stay down there for a very long period of time.
My experience, Gene, has been that they'll do that with a car. But they won't do it with gold. They'll sit back and they won't touch gold until it starts going up, and then when it hits its peak, they'll all jump in and start buying it. I've watched it happen every single time.
It's a very crazy phenomenon. You know, here we got gold at 3.25, and when gold is at $500 an ounce, and I believe you'll see that in not too long distant future. They'll be standing in line, ringing the phone off the hook, trying to get as much as they can get their hands on at $500 an ounce.
I've watched it year after year.
Yeah, it happens every time. If people buy in masses and they buy in herds. And so how do you change people's mentality? I don't know. You just try to teach them, try to show them the ins and outs of this, try to show them to be contrarian buyers. The people that make money, statistically, now I think it's changed a little bit here recently because of this recent run-up of the market in these last, 4 or 5 years, but statistically, 75% of investors in the stock market lose money. And the only other 25 are either break even or lose money, don't make any money. The other 25% do because they're contrarians, meaning they're buying when everyone else is selling and selling when everyone else is buying.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing for people to get into their to their mentality.
I don't know why it's so hard. I mean, that's what they do in there. I don't know any cattle ranchers that buy cattle when the price is high. I mean, they buy cattle when the price is low, and they sell when the price is high. Why would somebody buy a car for $20,000 when they could get it for $11,000?
Well, I think, like I said earlier, the stock market and there's two groups in this. There's the large corporations, the Merrill Lynch's, the Shearson Lehman's, the Kidder Peabody's, the big, huge brokerage houses, and then there's the masses. And the big brokerage firms.
Hey, G.
Yes.
Don't use that socialist term, masses. They're people. There's people in this country. We don't have masses here.
Okay. The people. The sheeple.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. but the brokerage firm gets first cut on everything. Okay, so they get the inside, like I was talking about with the IPO, the initial public offering. They get first pick on all that stuff, and then they cherry-pick everything else. Then the people come in, and after they saw this market, an individual or a IPO go up to 25% or 50%, they jump in thinking that it's going to continue that same track, and it will go up a little bit, and they'll allow the market to go up another maybe 10% or 20%, but then these big masses, the big corporations, dump it. And they get out, take their money, and leave the other guy holding the bag, and all of a sudden the market falls back down. And there was nothing else there to drive it to go back up. And they use people to make the money, because the vast majority of people out there are kind of stupid when it comes to investing in the stock market. And they don't realize that they are being manipulated by the big money that's out there.
You call that one right.
And they count on the little investor to jump in there and push the market where they need it to go so they can get out and make their money and go on to something else. And so they're grossly being manipulated by the big money.
Mm-hmm.
There's big money and then there's the people's money. And the people don't band together, so to speak. They're out there just kind of floundering around by themselves and trying to make a living, trying to enhance their retirement or whatnot, and there's no continuity. You got millions of people and going a million different directions when it comes to the stock market, but it's all helping the big money make more money. So, anyhow, as far as getting back to the thing with gold. Gold is now selling at low its cost production. It won't stay there low. It won't stay there long. So you can count on gold prices going up here in the very near future and getting stronger and stronger. Number two, the money supply. And we talked about this a little bit last time. The money supply is soaring at this point, and it will eventually cause inflation to catch up. Right now, the U.S. money supply is growing faster than it did in the late 70s. And at that time, we saw gold prices contributing to it, wages. Now, we haven't seen, we just recently saw the UPS strike, okay? And if you think about it, now, we haven't seen big corporations striking until just recently here for quite some time. There's been a lull there where there hasn't been big, huge strikes, you know, General Motors or these big corporations striking. Where now we're seeing more and more and more of it. And what happens, they're demanding more and more wages, better benefits, and it's all cost somebody something, okay? If the UPS demands more wages or benefits or more full-time jobs, bottom line, it's going to cost the company. When they go on strike, they're going to get some concessions. They may not get everything they want, but it's going to cost the company more money. Guess what? It's not going to come out of that CEO's pocket or that CFO or the president's pocket. It's going to come out of somebody else's pocket. It's going to come out of the people's pocket that use their services to ship their packages. I guarantee you, watch, the rates of UPS will now go up. They got to pay for it somehow. They don't have any presence like the government does. They got to pay those extra wages somehow, so they have to generate new income from someplace, and so they raise their rates. Guess what, folks? That's inflation, and it will go up. And one of the figures that the government boasts about, and you see this every election year. You know, we're not in election year, but you'll see this low employment figures. Well, when employment figures, you think, well, everybody's got a job. Well, great, that sounds like great news. You know, and it's a two-edged sword when everybody has a job.
Yeah, but it's all a con, Gene. It used to be the unemployment figures really reflected the people in the country who were unemployed.
Sure.
Now it doesn't. The unemployment figures only reflect those people who are drawing unemployment insurance checks.
Exactly. If they're applying for unemployment.
No, not applying. Actually getting a check.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Once their unemployment runs out, even if they're still unemployed, they're not counted in the unemployment figures. People on welfare are not counted. People on general relief are not counted. It's only the people who are drawing an unemployment check are counted as being unemployed.
Right. That's true.
It's a big...
Aren't what they used to be.
No, it's a con job to make the government administration, whichever one is in power, look better than what they really are.
Well, yeah, and it makes them look better, but here's the problem that does exist. Let's assume that unemployment is dropping. And in some sectors, you do see it, that there, I remember seeing a report where in one particular Midwest area, I mean, it was hard to find. I mean, they had help wanted posters everywhere. And there was actually a glut of jobs for the number of people that, now not everybody wanted to work for minimum wage and whatnot. So, but here's the problem. Let's say that, like in Arizona, down here in Phoenix, they're building houses like there's no tomorrow, and condominiums and apartment buildings, and they're just kind of going crazy. And you see signs everywhere for laborers or carpenters or cement finishers. They're placing ads in California and Texas and New Mexico to draw people in here because there's just not enough people to satisfy the need. Well, in order to get people to come and to pick up stakes and move and do whatever, they're having to increase the wages in order to hire people. Well, even though the unemployment figure may be low and there's a glut of jobs and we can put lots of people to work, but if they have to raise the rates or raise the hourly wage in order to entice people to come to work, guess who has to pay for it? You and I. Okay? And this is what we're seeing. This is the whole point. And when we start to see these things that are happening in our economy, rest assured, gold is going up. We know that gold is very inflationary sensitive, and so we're seeing housing costs are going up. That's why they're going up, because they're having to search farther, harder to find people to fill the needs, fill the work needs, so they're having to pay more money for them. And so it gets passed on to the price of the house. Construction rates are going up. People right now seems to be a trend that almost like the accounts of the Roaring Twenties. You know, eat, drink, and be merry, because it's just like it's party time, and people are making more money. They're spending more money. They're buying more things. They're borrowing more things. They're falling deeper and deeper into debt. Bankruptcies and credit delinquencies are at all-time record highs. And so these are all, you got to sit back and you take one little instance. By itself, it might not mean anything. But you add them all up and you look at the whole picture, and it tells us we are heading in a direction that will be devastating to those. And then you can take a look at the stock market itself. Stock market has been on an inflationary rocket ship to the moon. When prices go up, now no one can deny.
I think it's being run by the benevolent Space Brothers. What do you think?
The what?
The benevolent Space Brothers are running the stock market.
The Space Brothers.
I met a guy the other day. He says, "Well, I don't have to worry about all this stuff, Bill." He says, "I don't know why you're." Why are you doing all this? He says, the benevolent Space Brothers are going to come and save us pretty soon. They're getting ready to land on this Earth at any time.
Yeah. I read an article about that, in fact, it was in Time Magazine, and it was talking about a scenario of the stock market crash. And they said aliens have, you know, headlines came out, aliens have landed in such and such part of the country, and the stock market just continued to rise, and such and such news came out, and the stock market was up 400 points, and the aliens, it's confirmed that they land, and the stock market takes a breather and takes a look, and then continues to rise, and then the aliens make a deal with the governments of the world to exchange the technology that they have for something that we have, I forget what it was, and the government decides to go for it, and they take this new technology that makes Microsoft look like it's something from the Stone Age, and all of a sudden Microsoft plummets, Intel plummets, all the technical stock plummets, and causes the stock market to go into a 2,000-point crash, all because the aliens have landed them. And they said at the end, it was kind of cute, maybe we shouldn't have taken the deal.
You know, I did a show about that a long time ago. What if the aliens landed and gave us super technology? What would that, you know, then what would a computer chip be worth?
It'd be worth nothing.
Yeah. And what would AT&T be worth if they taught us how to communicate telepathically?
Exactly. I mean, all these things.
We're joking, folks. Gene and I really don't believe in benevolent Space Brothers, and we believe firmly that if aliens land, it's the biggest hoax con job in the world. And they may pull something like that.
I think the only aliens that exist are in the U.S. government.
No, they're in the Masonic lodges.
There they are. They wear funny hats.
Yeah, they do.
But anyhow, the stock market, if you want to look at inflation, look at the stock market. It has been on an inflation rocket ship. You know, prices, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that the prices of just about every stock imaginable out there has gone up. And when prices go up, folks, that's inflation. It costs more tomorrow than it did today. That's inflation, and it's been literally out of control in the stock market sector. The reason is people don't care is because, you know, it's been people making money in it. So they says, yeah, we want it to go up. But somebody's paying for those higher prices, and it's being passed on to someplace and to someone, and those that are holding these things, ultimately, when this thing corrects, and I think that this correction, and if this is it now, if we're in the midst of it, I don't know, you know, I know that it's coming, and I know that it's coming soon, and I'm certainly not going to be in it when it happens, and am not at this point. Hey, I tried at one time thinking I was real clever, knew all this stuff, and tried to buy some stocks. And I got news for you, folks. I got my fanny kicked. I mean, I just got my fanny clock cleaned, and so I got out of it while the getting was still good. And I thought I knew a lot about this stuff, but I found out I got a good lesson in what I didn't know.
Well, the thing about it is, it doesn't matter what you know or what you don't know. You have nothing to do with whether the stock market goes up or down. And most people who invest in stocks lose money, just like you said. And even if they gain a little bit, they usually end up losing that on the commissions. And so, you know, the only people who make money are the people who know what's going on in the stock market. And they make big money. But that's their job. That's their life. That's why. If you're a truck driver, or if you're a coin dealer, or if you're an insurance agent, and that's your expertise, and you think you're going to get in the stock market and make a killing, you might make some money, but if you do, it's most probably an accident.
Yeah.
Most probably, you're going to lose a lot of money.
Well, what'll happen, you know, there's been people over the last 2 or 3 years that if they got in back then, they've made some money, but what'll happen is, when you look at this thing in the long term, that when this thing corrects, most all those gains are going to get wiped out, because this is going to be probably a very severe correction that's going to take place.
Well, it has to be.
You know,
I want to make one addendum to what I said a couple of seconds ago, is that the only people who really make any money in the stock market are people who invest in mutual funds that have good management and are smart enough to get out of those mutual funds when the fund starts to get too big, or the management starts to go somewhere else, or else the stock market starts to change and the management is not one of those types of people that you were talking about that buy when it's low and sell when it's high.
Yeah, contrarian.
But, yeah, and the mutual fund has been the only real good deal for the common man that's ever come along in the stock market.
Well, look at Fidelity now. Just recently, they're closing their doors. They're not going to let it after September 30th. They're not letting anybody new in there. The thing has grown too big.
They're too big. Once they get too big, they don't make the money like they did when they were growing. They reach a point where gains are small.
Yeah, it just maximizes out and got to go on to something else. So I thought that was pretty interesting that they are closing. I don't think that's ever happened before that I know of.
I don't either.
I've never heard of it, of a mutual fund closing its doors and not allowing any other investors to come in. The other day, I may have mentioned this before, but I heard something, and I was talking to an individual that was involved with a stock in the securities and exchange part of it. Because he was privy to information about the stock, he could not be an investor. He was just there to field questions about the stock, about the company and whatnot. And this was a company that was having some problems, and it was a company that was dealing in secondary financing. And one of the things I did not know, but now I do, is that when a stock, and there was one that did last year, they got decommissioned, got taken off the stock market for their ill-proprieties. They had given out false information to the public. The stock market it tripled last year in 1996. It was the highest gaining stock in the market. And it was all due to misappropriation of numbers, giving out false numbers about profits and different things that the company was doing. And then
Gene, that's not called misappropriation. That's called lying.
There you go. It's just lying.
It's called fraud.
Flat out lying about their profits. But, you know, the Bible says, be sure to know your sins will find you out. And sure enough, you know, there's always a day of reckoning, you know, the opening of the books. And when it was found out, I mean, the stock just plummeted. And then finally it was decommissioned and taken, or delisted. Decommissioned is what they do to ships. They delisted it and took it off all the marks. You know, not on the New York Stock Exchange, not on the American Stock Exchange, not on the NASDAQ, not on the Standard & Poor's, not on any of the listings anymore.
No.
It doesn't bother them a bit because they've already got their money.
That's right.
They took the money from the American, old American people.
Yeah, and that stock that's on the exchange doesn't belong to them. It belongs to the poor people who bought it. And
and they used it to build another factory or to do whatever they was, you know, fixing to do with the money. And they've spent it. It's gone. They don't have to answer to you one bit. Stock gets delisted. A company can go on and continue to make profits year after year. They don't care. It means absolutely nothing to the company.
That's right.
It's no sweat off their back whatsoever if it gets delisted. Now, the only possible thing is if somebody in that company, the CEO, you know, has all his money tied up in that company, and his whole fortune is riding on that, then he might be an unhappy camper, but that's not always and very rarely the case. And so, but as far as the company is concerned, it goes on its merry way, and you're just plain screwed, basically what he told me, and you lose your money, and the company's got it, and there's nothing you can do about it.
That's right. Yeah, people have misconceptions about stocks and a lot of other things.
Yeah, and when this thing turns down, the company doesn't buy your stock back. I think my wife once thought that when you sell a stock, that IBM buys it back. They don't buy nothing back.
No.
There has to be a person, an individual investor or a mutual fund or somebody that when you put in a sell order, there has to be a buyer in order to buy it. Now, in a normal market, there's usually a supply of buyers and sellers in a pool that just go back and forth in exchange, but that's what drives the prices up or down, depending on where there's a majority, if there's a majority of sellers or if there's a majority of buyers. If there's a majority of buyers, prices go up. If there's a majority of sellers, prices go down. But somebody's got to, if you're a buyer, somebody has to sell that stock in order for you to buy it. Okay, and they have to come up with a price in order to make it work for both of you. Now, when we head into what we're heading into, I believe, where the stock market continues to go down, and it could be one of these type of corrections that is just one of these relentless day after day after day. You see a 50-point drop one day, a 100-point drop the next day, and it may climb up 25 and then drop another 200 points the next day, and it just continues to go down, and everybody's trying to sell. Guess what happens? When everybody's trying to sell, there's no buyers. And guess what happens to the price of your stock? It goes right down into the toilet, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, and then that's when a lot of people get in and start selling short.
Well, yeah. You know, if you know how to do that and
buy long, sell short.
Got some expertise on selling short. It's something that...
What they're doing is just betting that the market's going to keep going down.
Yeah.
And every time that they bet right, they make money while everybody else is losing.
Yeah. They they're making money on someone else's losses.
Yep.
Exactly. It's got to be a bad name for that.
Well, I think there's a bad name for the whole thing. I mean... We don't have time for me to get into what I'd like to say about the stock market, so
yeah.
I'll pass.
But we got lots of reasons out there that timing is, you know, timing's everything, really, in a lot of things. Being in the right place at the right time. You know, I've been there before on job interviews and different things. Was just happen to be at the right place at the right time. And right now, you'll look back 10 years from now, mark this on your calendar, it's August the 28th, 1997, and if we don't blow this planet up by 19 or 2007 or whatever, when the war doesn't return, you'll look back and think, gosh, I should have bought gold in August 28th, 1997, because now gold's $2,000 an ounce or whatever it's going to be. I do believe it's going to be a whole lot higher than it is now.
Yep, I believe that's it. In fact, I'm on record as predicting that.
So if you got a notion
got the means to do it, don't hesitate, you know, take advantage of it. We'll sit down and talk with you, counsel you, give you some advice, try to, you know, help you out any way we can, get you in the right direction. But there's a lot of things that are painted out there that if you don't get lost because of the forest, so to speak, you can kind of sit back and see the forest and see the whole picture and see the danger that exists. Then you can kind of make a decision on what to do.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you better listen to Gene, folks. And for those of you who haven't been listening to the Hour of the Time for very long and don't know who I am or what I've done, in the last 10 years, I've made literally hundreds of predictions. I've only been wrong once. Only one time. And that's because I misjudged the how far along they were in bringing about their new world order. The time I was wrong, I said Manuel Noriega could not be tried in a court in this country and could not be sentenced to jail because it's against the law of nations. He's the head of a foreign nation. We had no authority to go and get him. We had no authority to try him or put him in prison. It was against the law of nations. People who head governments have diplomatic immunity. And, you know, it's a joke now. But that's the only time that I've been wrong. And I'm telling you that I have predicted that this market is going to take a big tumble. And it's going to happen sometime before the end of 1998. I'm on record as saying that. I believe that there's going to be a serious dump this October. And it could be the actual big fall. But it's going to happen before the end of 1998, and it's got to happen before the year 2000. And I say by the end of 1998, it's going to come tumbling down. And I seriously believe, although I'm not predicting this October, I am predicting within the next year, by or before the end of 1998. But I have a strong feeling that this October, it's going to go through the toilet. I mean, literally, get flushed.
If you want to look at the experts and when they buy anything, just pick anything, you know, popcorn balls, I don't care. But you look at when the experts buy it, and they'll buy it when the absolute worst possible news is out about that particular thing. When it looks like it has had its last nail pounded in the coffin, and it is on its way down to the grave, that's when they'll buy it, because they know that they are getting an absolute steal on the thing, and then they come in, and then you just watch, the market turns around, and no market goes up forever, no market stays down forever. It just doesn't. And but that's what's called contrarian buying. You know, and it's a hard thing to...
I call it good business.
Well, it is good business.
When did it become contrarian buying when it's always been good business to do that?
It's just that it's contrary to the bulk of the people in the country, and that's why they call it that. When everybody else is you know,
running in to buy something that's already over the hill.
Yeah, exactly. And so
they're selling.
I pulled up on my computer tonight. I mean, there's all kinds of negative press about gold and silver. And people get all worried about it. I think, you know, I look at it and think, this is great. You know?
It is great.
It's great. Hey, I'd love to see gold go down to $300, silver down to $4.
I don't care if it goes down to 10 cents. I know the history of this world and the history of money of this world and the history of gold and silver coin. And, in fact, I would like to see it go down to 10 cents so I could buy as much as I could possibly get my hands on while everybody else is trying to get rid of theirs and taking a loss.
Buy everybody else.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know,
see, I don't care what I buy it at. When I can afford it and when the price is reasonable to my estimation, I buy as much as I can possibly afford.
Yeah.
And I never touch it. It never gets sold. I don't care. If gold was to go through the roof tomorrow at $4,000 an ounce, I would not sell what I have.
No, you can't, because it's what you're going to need to survive with down the road. I mean, it really is. So your paper money is not going to have any value whatsoever.
Only if you know what I know and believe what I believe based upon what I know. Most people think I'm crazy, and they don't think anything's ever going to get that bad. And that's okay. But they're going to find out that they're.
You know the way I look at it, Bill. I hope it never does get that bad.
I hope it never does either. But I know that it is going to.
You and I are dads. We're raising kids. Got families, and the last thing I want to do, quite frankly, is raise my family in a chaos type of situation where you got.
But that's exactly what socialism needs in order to bring down the status quo and have people beg for the new order and be willing to give up whatever they have to give up. Yeah.
Exactly. But here's the thing. I hope it never does, but I'm not going to be stupid enough to think it never can.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have my stash of precious metal and hope I never need it. But if I do, I got it. Yeah. And if I don't, well, so what? What have I done? What's the worst I've done? I put money aside that's saved up for my children or my grandchildren or whoever that I can pass on to them. That's the worst I've done.
Yeah. Who's in charge in Washington?
Hillary.
What is Hillary?
Just joking.
What is her political agenda?
To wipe out the middle class.
She's a socialist, isn't she? So's old Bill. And so are everybody who's in charge of anything in Washington.
Yeah.
So if you read the gurus of socialism, and you know what they're about, you know what's coming. Unless you can get them out of office and turn it around, it's not going to happen. Because even the so-called conservatives are socialists today.
Do you think there's a chance of that, getting them out of office?
No chance at all, unless you want to do it through the second article and amendment with the last resort that our founding fathers gave us, and I'm telling you right now it's eventually going to come to that. But if you know what the socialist agenda is, you know that this all has to come tumbling down because they must eliminate the middle class.
Yeah.
They must destroy the wealthy. Except for the wealthy who are in cahoots with them bringing all of this about. That's right.
They're going to get wiped out.
They sure are.
Yeah.
But that's all you've got to know what's going to happen. And you don't have to have a crystal ball. You don't have to have God whispering in your ear. And you don't have to be any kind of guru. And you don't have to talk to somebody in outer space or anything else. All you got to do is study history. Read what they wrote. If you know what their plan is, if you know what they wrote, if you know what they believe in, and if you know that they are in power right now, in the most powerful nations in the world, including the United States of America, you know what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
Now, anybody who doesn't understand what I just said is an idiot or a fool. They can take their pick. The consequences are the same.
Yeah.
Well, what other... Got anything else to give us as a part? We got just a couple more minutes to go.
Well, give them my phone number. Let's give out the phone number here. We also got that survival pack number 3 that's going on right now, which kind of gives you a diversity of things that you can have in your portfolio. It's a roll of silver eagles, 22 a roll. There's a 2 1/10 ounce gold American eagles. And then a roll of junk quarters, $10 face value, or 40 of them in a roll. And I believe the price will still do it at the, even though silver's gone up a little bit, we'll still do it at the same price, which is $275. And the number to call.
It's an even better deal now than it was.
Yeah, it's a better deal now than it was last week because silver's gone up. Is 800-295-2432. 1-800-295-2432. And I just want to pass on one little bit of good news I was telling you about earlier. And I apologize to some of the people that may have in the last few days tried to get a hold of me, couldn't get a hold of me because I've been in and out of my office. But my wife, Grace, some of you know her, some of you have done business with her. They discovered a lump, a tumor, on her breast, but praise God, it was found to be benign.
Wonderful news.
So that was real good news. But there were some, I guess, know, tense moments there for a period of time, although that we have a very strong belief in God and His healing power. But, you know, nonetheless, you're still going to have some tense moments there. But I know that when she found out that it was benign, a huge weight seemed to be lifted off of her. And there's one more test she has to go through, one more biopsy that she has to go through, but I think the serious one is behind us, and we're just believing for this next one to be good news just like the last one. So anyhow, if you did get a hold of me, that's what's been going on, and had to kind of deal with some of that stuff, but we're back for now, and we got a big weekend coming up, so we'll probably be closed on Monday because of being Labor Day.
You know, I've got to... I got to apologize to you for something. When you left Swiss America Trading, some people called me and said Swiss America Trading was telling them that you'd gone off to start your own ministry. And I told them I didn't think that that was true. I didn't believe it. And it turned out it was true.
Well, yes and no at the time. No, it wasn't true at the time, okay? I was starting my own company. But
well, I knew that, and that's why I thought that that wasn't true. But then when we talked... You know, a long time later, you said that you had actually done that.
Well, yeah, just recently I had, and I've been in the ministry for a long time. I've been in the ministry before I'd ever been into coins. I've been in the ministry since, like, 1976.
See, I never knew that.
Yeah, and been a pastor of a church in Iowa, built a church there, built a church in California, and my wife and I started a Bible study several years ago in our home on Tuesday nights, and we still have it to this day. Well, it grew and grew and got to a point where they felt the need to go a little farther, so we started a church about not quite a year ago.
Wow, congratulations.
So it's doing real good, and we're happy with that. But no, when I left Swiss America, that the Bible study had been in existence even while I worked at Swiss America.
Well, you'd...
And so I didn't leave Swiss America to start a Bible study or start a church because we weren't even nowhere near starting a church at that point. I left Swiss America on the sole purpose of starting a precious metal trading company. So that's the long and skinny of that. And they weren't too happy about it. First, got to do what he's got to do.
Hey, that's all right. No? Don't worry about it. Well, I want to thank you for being on with me tonight and for illuminating us once again with all of this this information.
I didn't ramble on too much.
Pardon?
I say I hope I didn't ramble on too much. But
No, you did real well. So we'll see you next week.
All righty.
Take
care.
Y'all
have a good weekend, and God bless.
Good night.
Okay.
And good night to you folks, and God bless each and every single one of you.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
This is the Voice of Freedom. Thank you. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
Sample in the morning. Anyone caught interfering with the collection of urine samples will be shot. Stay in your home. Remain calm. The number one enemy of progress is question. National security is more important than individual will. All sports broadcasts will proceed as normal. No more than two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now mandatory. Be happy. At last, everything is done for you.